everyone. Rhonda Byrne, in her book written 2004 called The Secret, this is her testimony. Everything in my life had fallen apart physically, emotionally, financially, and I was in total despair. My father had died suddenly, and I was worried about my grief-stricken mother, and I wept and I wept and I wept. Then my daughter gave me a copy of a book written in 1910 by Wallace Wattles named The Science of Getting Rich. As I was reading this book, something inside of me began to turn the pages one by one, and I can still remember my tears hitting the pages as I was reading it. It gave me a glimpse of the secret. It was like a flame inside my heart. And with every passing of the page, it just became a raging fire of wanting to share all of this with the world. I spent hours tracing the concept of the secret all the way back from 3,500 BC to the present day. Since I discovered the secret, every single moment of my entire life has changed, and I am living my life for the first time. So what is the secret? It's the law of attraction. You see, like attracts like, Rhonda says. It's the most powerful law in the universe, and it never stops working. Rhonda goes on to say, we attract into our lives the things we want. And that is based on what we're thinking and feeling. This principle explains that we create our own circumstances through our own thoughts, which means our thoughts are the most powerful thing on the earth. If you understand the secret correctly, you don't choose to follow a God. You choose to recognize you are a God. You are divine. You are sovereign. I think that's the same secret I have read before in the book of Genesis. Eve, eat of this fruit, and you shall be as God. Several false teachers have brought this into their ministries, if we can call them that. False teacher Kenneth Copeland and false teacher Creflo Dollar taught the same false, self-exalting, you are a little God message. This is right off their website. Creflo Dollar says, everything produces after its own kind. Horses get horses, dogs get dogs, and gods produce gods. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Horses produce horses, and dogs produce dogs, and gods produce dogs, he says. And then God produced more gods with flesh, and then gods with flesh produce more gods with flesh. Then gods with flesh produce more gods with flesh, until the gods of flesh showed up one day with flesh and dwelt among other gods with flesh to demonstrate to the other gods how to have authority over the flesh. Then he says this, this is the secret history that the religious church wants to hide away from you so you don't know who you really are. I didn't know I was a god. You know what, folks? I'm no god, and neither are you. Kenneth Copeland claims divine ability to create. If you want something, just say it. Aren't you tired of poverty, for instance? Say to money, come to me. Let's all try that. Come to me. You have the power to speak it into existence. I think the only people getting rich in these people's ministries are the ones promoting this garbage. So let's get off of man's false revelations and get onto some sound biblical revelation. Take your Bible and turn to the book of the revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. Be careful, people claiming revelation today. We better go back to what has been revealed. Amen? Is that true, folks? Got to go back to what has been revealed. This is not a mystery. There are some things that are hard to be understood. That's true. Peter even said that about Paul's writings. Both of them were inspired by God, as we know. This is inspired by God to the Apostle John, and he writes it down. An angel is standing there and showing him a vision of the future of Jesus Christ and what he's going to do in the future. And while you're reading it along, you might forget that this is a vision, and you'll actually think that Jesus is standing there and already doing these things. Well, folks, this is what's going to happen in the future. Now, he goes back into the other parts of the Bible, there's no doubt about it. But he brings it to this realization that there is a future promise for the children of God. And God wants to give us a special blessing by reading this book, and that blessing being to know that Jesus Christ is in control of all things, and he's about to return at the end of this age, a new epic, a new time is going to start. There will be a new heaven and a new earth one day, and somebody please say, Amen. And so the best is yet to come. Is Jesus the source of the revelation or the subject of the revelation? Because the verse 1 here says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is he the source of the revelation or the subject of the revelation? And the answer is yes. He's both the source and the subject of the revelation. Peter told this to young ministers. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4 says, Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's Revelation, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Paul instructed Timothy, young minister Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. I charge thee, I command thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, those who are alive and those who are dead, at his appearing. That's Revelation. And his kingdom. Preach the word. And so, folks, we're going to go back to God's revelation and preach the word today so we can find out what's going to take place in the future. So today is the first message in our study through the book of Revelation. And please pray for me. We won't be done by next week, I can promise you. I got a lot to say here today, and believe me, what I left out, you know what I want, folks? I want everyone to read the book of Revelation between now and next Sunday. They say, oh, it's kind of a long book. It'll take you, and I timed it, it'll take you about an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, to listen to the book. And I would suggest listening to the book. Can you give me an hour and 15 minutes between now and next Sunday? Come on. Who will do it? Listen to the book of Revelation. Just a few minutes a day, if need be. And if you can, listen to it in a couple days. And better yet, listen to the whole book in one day. That's what I plan to do. Several days after, over and over again, listen to the whole book. And things will start popping up in there that you thought you knew, and it's right there for us to see. And it is a glorious future for the children of God. There are some very tough things to face. For instance, the believers in the tribulation period. Those who will be saved after the rapture of the church. Wow. Some of them will be beheaded. Many of them will be killed. And we're supposed to see that and take that as an example to be faithful to God ourselves in our day and time. That's what we're supposed to do with it. We're supposed to be a true soldier of Jesus Christ because we are fighting a huge spiritual battle. But you know what? We've already won. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we cry out to you to strengthen us by your Spirit right now. Cause us to understand you and the revelation of yourself through your Son, Jesus. We yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit of God, that you might teach us, cause us to understand, and help us to have that blessing you promised at the beginning of this book as we read, listen, and live like it's true. We'll be blessed. And now help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I got about 10 messages up here. I'm going to try to do one of them instead of 10. Aren't you glad of that? Somebody say amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1 and verse 1. Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. What other books did John write? The Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and of course, the Revelation. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This word revelation in English is the Greek word apokalypto, which we get our word apocalyptic. The apocalypse. When you hear the word apocalypse, it's usually associated with confusion of the mission, cultural corruption, conflicts, and the brutalities of war. Many movies include this statement. That's what the word means. A confusion of the mission, cultural corruption and conflicts and brutalities of war. But really what the word means is to reveal, to uncover, to pull back the curtain and show you what's going to happen in the future. So in this book, God is going to pull back the curtain and show us what's going to happen in the future. As I mentioned, this word time means an epoch or an age, a time frame. There'll be a time when this age is over and the new age is going to begin. And it's probably sooner than we think. Most people will be going through marriage or giving in marriage and planning all these things and eating and sleeping and not even realize that the day is drawing near. But we're supposed to be aware that the day is drawing near. It's one day closer than it was yesterday. Amen? So let us think about it. How to properly understand these things. Well, the past is about Jesus Christ. That's how you understand history. How are you going to understand things going on today? Well, today is about Jesus Christ. And how are you going to understand the future? Well, the future is about Jesus Christ. And as you focus on him, you understand the past, the present, and the future. That's according to the Bible. What does God want it to be? One of our past things. He wants the past thing to be that we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we haven't, today is a day for you to get saved from your sins. And then, if that takes place, then God wants you to enjoy his life and fellowship through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apply that to your life every day. Who are you going to run to if you sin? You run back to the cross where Jesus paid our sin debt so that his life might come through us. And then we are to rejoice that we will be a part of his future glory. In the cross, our crucified Lord, the Old Testament law did fulfill. So we ought fully trust the resurrected Christ, our future, to reveal. I like that, don't you? He paid my sin debt in the past and has guaranteed me a future with Him. So the Lord gave this revelation to John in verse 1 here. He gave a revelation to John by extension is giving it to us. He wanted to show His servant, that's a word for slave actually, a bond slave, a willing slave, one who doesn't want to be mastered by sin but willingly wants to be mastered by Christ. John calls himself that in the word servant here. And He's revealed this to him. He's uncovered it. He's pulled back the curtain of the things which must shortly come to pass. 1 Peter 1, 12 and 13. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister to the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They desire to understand it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the grace, to the end for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21, talking about revelation. He says we have a more sure word of prophecy than comparing that standing there and watching the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, John chapter 17. We have a more sure word, a secure word of prophecy because we have it written down. That's what Peter's comparing that to. He was there and he saw it. And this is what he says in 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy than that vision of Christ. Whereunto we do well that ye take heed. You take heed. It's like a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word moved by the Holy Ghost is like wind in the sail. And the Lord, God, the Holy Spirit, moved these men to write down what God desires. And God often uses an angel. Listen to this. Paul warned about this on the negative side. Galatians 1, 8 through 9. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed or damned, eternally damned. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel, any other way of salvation than through Christ, then what you have received, let him be accursed or damned. So not to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins and new life in him, if we don't believe that, we're damned. And that's a past revelation, and it's not to be changed. So Mormonism, an angel appeared and gave Joseph Smith this. Muslim, an angel appeared and gave them this, their teaching. An angel appeared and gave false Jehovah Witnesses their message. And every one of them is blaspheming Jesus Christ. So we can't gather together with all the city and come together and pray and wonder why Pastor Long isn't a good guy spiritually and won't join these false people and their false religions. We're not going to do it. All God's people say, amen. Amen. An angel delivered this message to John, and that's the importance of it. What I found out in this book, there's angels all over the place. How many of you know there's angels all over this place right now? In fact, you have at least one, a ministering spirit. Angels are sent to be ministering spirits to the believer. So you have one of them. And Terry, you got one sitting right beside you, Ryan. He's an angel. Ryan's like, that's right here, babe. That's not what we mean, Ryan. Thank you for that one, Ryan. You can take it out on me later. It's not Gregory's turn today. No, it's not the person sitting beside you. I could probably But we don't all have a ministering angel. At least one. Why? Because the Bible says so. Angels delivered this message. By the way, who was it who announced that the virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son? An angel, Gabriel, announced it to the shepherds. So all throughout the Bible we see angels appearing. Daniel had an angel taking his prayer request to God. And Satan, through one of his fallen angels, demons or fallen angels, hindered the response because the request hadn't got to God yet. Now that's a picture. No, I don't understand it. I know since the cross we go directly through Jesus Christ. Amen? But the Bible tells us in the Old Testament the angels would take the request to God. You think about it. And therefore truly getting connected to God is there's one mediator between God and man. Between God and man, who is it? The man, Christ Jesus. So that's what's exciting about that. So an angel delivered this message to John, and it was a sign. Look at there, it says it's a sign. He sent and signified it. That means he gave a sign by his angel. And what was this sign? Sign that something significant is about to happen. Something significant is taking place. The angel gave this vision of Christ, and it seemed as though Christ himself was giving the message, but he was actually doing it by a vision through an angel. There's three clear affirmations of what John was saying was a message sent from God. The first one is, look at verse 2. You start breaking these things down so you can eat them and believe them and assimilate them in your life. The first one is, who bear record of the Word of God. The Word of God is the message, is the fact that the message would be confirmed and consistent with the other parts of the Word already written. That's what he means by it. You'll find this is true in other parts of the Bible. According to Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, certain statements in the Revelation are mentioned in other parts of the Bible. 13 from Genesis, 27 from Exodus, 4 from Leviticus, 3 from Numbers, 10 from Deuteronomy, 1 each from Joshua, Judges, and 2 Samuel, 6 from 1 Kings, 1 both from 1 Chronicles and Nehemiah, 45 direct statements from Psalms, 2 from Proverbs, 79 direct statements from Isaiah, 22, by the way, that's probably the number one book in the Old Testament that teaches that Jesus is Jehovah, the book is Isaiah. So there's 79 statements from Isaiah, 22 from Jeremiah, 43 from Ezekiel, 53 from Daniel, 2 from Hosea, 8 from Joel, 9 from Amos, 1 from Habakkuk, 2 from Zephaniah, 15 from Zechariah, 1 from Malachi, and that's all I can get out right now. So folks, what we're trying to tell you is that one of the affirmations here is that it's recorded in other parts of the Bible, brought into this last revelation of the age, the end of the age. The second one is the testimony of Jesus Christ, the witness of Jesus Christ. Where do you find the testimony of Jesus Christ? And here's the answer, in all the Scriptures, in every one of the Scriptures, you will find Jesus Christ. Luke 24, 23 through 27. And they found not his body. They came and said they had also seen a vision of angels. This is at the resurrection of Christ. Which said that he was alive. The angels told the ladies, he's alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, this is what we don't want to be today, foolish, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Answer, yes. The Bible teaches that. And beginning at Moses, that's Genesis, first five books of the Bible, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. That was talking about me. 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 And symbol, type. New Testament authors are explicit about Jesus' presence in the Old Testament. I am in whom Abraham rejoiced was Jesus. John 8, 56 through 58. The Lord who motivated Moses was Christ. Hebrews 11, 26, God the Son. The Redeemer who brought them out of Egypt was Jesus. Jude, verse 5. The rock in the wilderness was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. The King of Isaiah's temple vision was the Son, John 12:40-41. Jesus is not merely the pattern and promised in the Old Testament. He's present there. By noun, pronoun, pattern, symbol, or type, Jesus is mentioned in the Bible 6,990 times. His name is directly mentioned 983 times in the New Testament. From beginning to end, the Bible is about Jesus, God, coming in human flesh, and what God and human flesh is going to do in the future. John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for yourself. Go look. For in them you think you have eternal life, and you will have eternal life in the Scriptures. And this is how you get it. They are they which testify of me. Wonderful. So we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ in the future. If we don't believe the revelation of Jesus Christ in the past, we're not going to concern ourselves with His future. Well, I believe all the past, and I believe all the future too. And that's who we call upon. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that name is believing everything the Bible reveals about Him. And if we don't believe part of it, we don't believe any of it. How much, those books that are written a number of years ago, what's the least we can believe and still be called a Christian? Do you have to believe that Jesus is born of a virgin? He's just such a good ethical teacher. Why does that really matter? Let's just move on. No, we're not moving on. We're moving on to belief He was born of a virgin, all God's people say. Amen. Why? Because that's what the Bible says about Him. Jesus in all the books of the Bible. See, I told you. Okay, here we go. In Genesis, Jesus is my God, creator and promised redeemer. In Exodus, Jesus is my Passover lamb whose blood delivers me from slavery to sin. In Leviticus, Jesus is my holiness and my high priest before God. In Numbers, Jesus is my living water in the desert. In Deuteronomy, Jesus is my living word from God. In Joshua, Jesus is Jehovah, my divine conqueror. In Judges, Jesus is my deliverer from the enemy's oppression. In Ruth, Jesus is my kinsman and redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, Jesus is the true prophet sent from God to me. In Kings and Chronicles, Jesus is my reigning king and has a right to rule my heart. In Ezra, Jesus rebuilds the walls of my broken down heart. In Nehemiah, Jesus is my restoration to life. In Esther, Jesus is my advocate and the one who raises me up. In Job, Jesus is my eternal living redeemer. And if I die, I'll see Him again. In Psalms, Jesus is the song in my heart. In Proverbs, Jesus is my wisdom from God. In Ecclesiastes, Jesus is my source of truth amongst all the vanities of life. In the Song of Solomon, Jesus is the passionate lover of my soul. In Isaiah, Jesus is Jehovah. He's the loving God who's willing to suffer crucifixion in order to save me from my sins. He is the Holy One. In Jeremiah, Jesus is my righteous branch and the burning word in my heart when I want to quit. I love that one. In Lamentation, Jesus weeps over me when I sin and then draws me back to Him. In Ezekiel, Jesus is my Messiah, the Son of Man, promised to come. In Daniel, Jesus is the God-man who will stand with me in the fires of persecution. In Hosea, Jesus is the faithful one to me, even when I'm not faithful to Him. In the book of Joel, Jesus promised to baptize me with His Spirit and make me a burning fire in the darkness, a flame. In Amos, Jesus is my caring burden bearer. In Obadiah, Jesus is my almighty Savior. In Jonah, Jesus is the forgiver of my sin and sends me to His enemies to offer the same grace to them. In Micah, Jesus is my pattern of beauty and humility as I walk before God and share the good news with others. In Nahum, Jesus is my stronghold in the day of trouble. In Habakkuk, Jesus is the one who will revive His work in me. In Zephaniah, Jesus is my Lord, God, and Savior. He sings over me with love and joy. Jesus, in Haggai, Jesus is my cleansing fountain. In Zechariah, Jesus is the God, prophet, king, and Messiah who will be pierced for me. In Malachi, Jesus is my Messiah like the rising of the sun. His righteousness is spread from His healing wings. In the New Testament, Jesus is my Messiah. Matthew, Jesus is my Messiah and King. And Mark, Jesus is my Messiah and chooses to serve me. Wow. In Luke, Jesus is my Messiah and as the Son of Man knows exactly how I feel. In John, Jesus is my Messiah, the God who took on human flesh. In Acts, Jesus is my God and He sent His Spirit to indwell me. In Romans, Jesus is my righteousness. I don't need any other. In 1 Corinthians, Jesus, I like this one a lot. In 1 Corinthians, Jesus is my consecration to God, even if I act carnal at times. Jesus is my consecration to God. Beautiful. In 2 Corinthians, Jesus is my assuring comforter from God in all my troubles. In Galatians, Jesus is my grace-saving gift. In Ephesians, Jesus is my gift from God and source of all other blessings. In Philippians, Jesus is the joy of my life. In Colossians, Jesus is the head of the church and the satisfaction of my soul. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Jesus is my hope and promise to return King. In 1 and 2 Timothy, Jesus is my faithful to preach the word pastor. In Titus, Jesus is my great God and Savior that may soon gloriously appear. In Philemon, Jesus is my sin debt absorbing, righteous grace giving friend. In Hebrews, Jesus is my high priest and the once for all sacrificial lamb for my sin. In James, Jesus is my faithful friend who helps mature my faith in Him. In 1 Peter, Jesus is my holy example to follow in persecution. In 2 Peter, Jesus is my divine power to partake of the nature and believe on the promises of God. In 1 John, Jesus is the Word of God that abides in me and helps me grow. In 2 John, Jesus is my promise of a full reward from God. In 3 John, Jesus is the truth and prominent one residing in my heart. In Jude, Jesus is my only one we ought to be counting on for the only way of common salvation. And in Revelation, Jesus is my revelation, my inspiration, my understanding, and the very manifestation of God. So the Scriptures do testify of Jesus Christ. In the Revelation, an angel speaks to John directly concerning Christ and His future plans on the earth. That's what the book's about. And our third point here is John's own personal testimony. What does John say? So we're talking about three chords of affirmation that this is a divine revelation from God. Verse 2, who bear record of the Word of God. All the Word of God is going to line up with Revelation. Of the testimony of Jesus Christ, of the testimony of Christ throughout all the Bible, it's going to be in this book too. And of the things which he saw, this is his personal witness. I saw it for myself. I saw this. Look at verses 12 and 13, for instance. When Jesus stands, this is what John saw in verses 12 and 13. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks are like one unto the Son of Man, Daniel's prophecy, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded with the paps across his chest with a golden girdle. There is wearing white. I tell you what, look, I'm just going to read what it says about him. This is Jesus in the vision, verse 14. John's looking at him. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Snowed today, right? Go out there and look at that snow. Every time it snows, it's supposed to remind us, in part, of the character of God. That whiteness. As white as snow. There it is. That's comparative. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Imagine this. And his feet like in the fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun rising in its strength. And what did John do? Fell down like he was dead. And guess what Jesus said? Get up and don't worship me. Did Jesus say that? No, he didn't. He took the worship. And we need to give him worship too. Amen. And verse 17, and when I saw him, there it is again, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. All God's people say, amen. That means it's true, it's so, may it be in my life too. You know, it's so, it's true, and may it be in my life too. May I live it. He says it again in chapter 5, verse 1, I saw. In chapter 21 and 1, I saw. And he goes on 44 times. He says, I saw this, I saw that, I saw this. And he just seemingly can't write it all down as fast. Ezekiel said that. It's kind of like this. The wheels were turning and the flames and the things I saw. And he's trying to write it all down. And John has bad English, if you will, at times. Because he doesn't finish sentences. Kind of like Trump, you know. You know what I was going to say, so I'm just going to the next point. It's kind of, he does that several times in the book. And you have to fill in the thought. John sees a prophecy of Christ and his future work as though he were already there. Now think about that. He sees it as though he were already there standing and viewing it. And he wrote it down. Woohoo! That's wonderful. He writes this in 1 John 5, 9 through 13 before he wrote the Revelation. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God's greater. For this is the witness of God which he had testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. Romans 10:9. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's the name of the Lord? It's Jesus. It's all that is said about Jesus being who he is as God who became flesh for us. And we don't believe the first part, we won't believe the rest. If we don't believe his eternal past existence, how can we place our confidence in him for our future existence? The Hebrew writer, I believe the Apostle Paul, put it this way in Hebrews 13:8 for our confidence. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that, don't you? He's the same. He's God, the Son. Okay, look at verse 3. There's a particular blessing. Go back to Revelation 1. And look at verse 3. There's a particular blessing here. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. What does it mean to hear something? My dad used to say to me on occasion, son, are you listening? You know, it's really a good time to talk to children right in the middle of a video game. You know what I mean? How many know that's a good time to get full instruction, you know? Yeah. And it works right up to the young adult, too. Yeah. Okay, that's a great, yeah. How many think they're fully listed? No. But folks, we need to be fully listening to this. This is what the word hear means. It means to listen to the degree that it starts transforming you. In other words, as you behold the glory of God, it will begin to change you. In Hebrews, it says, because they didn't have faith mixed with the word, listen to this, it didn't profit them one bit. So God wants us to place our full faith in him and what he has written here about the future. That's what it means. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, this proclamation of what's going to take place in the future, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This age is about to end, and this age is about to begin. There's not one thing needs to be fulfilled for the return of Jesus Christ. Not one thing. And so, folks, we best be getting ready. Let me just ask you this. If Trump's signing of the peace agreement, how many know this is even going on? What's he calling this? The Great Deal? The Big Deal? I forgot the name he's given for it. One of his greatest deals. What's he trying to do? Trying to sign the peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. And while all this garbage is going on about, you said this, you did that, and this false impeachment garbage, Trump is going right along with the plan of God. I promise you, that's what's happening. You don't establish Jerusalem as the headquarters of the state unless God moving you to do it. Both Bush and what's the other president? Clinton, and even Obama said they would, Obama a little fuzzy on it, said they would do it. But when they got elected, guess what? They didn't do it. What did Trump, you know what Trump does? What he says he's going to do. I don't like all the language every now and then, you know. Probably can learn some things on that. Yep, yes or no? He's not running for the pastor of this church, aren't you glad of that? He wasn't called to be a pastor of a church. He was called to be our president because God raises the one up and God takes one down. By the way, it was true of Obama too. God put him there. He did? Yeah. What did he put him there for? I believe to cause all of us to sober up and start praying. That's why he did it. Amen. And so, folks, God has put in place what he's going to do, and we better believe it. John has written it down. This is what Jesus said is going to take place. And if we'll believe what God says here about the future through his son, by this angel to John, all the testimony of the scriptures in the past, the same idea is borne out in James 1:22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Yeah, I heard it, but it doesn't change my life. You're deceiving yourself. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It simply means this. Whatever God says, try to live that way. Try to live in light of the truth. And this is the truth. What blessing, I believe, we're going to receive, what blessing or particular blessing are we going to receive by believing these words? We will know that Jesus could come today and will soon come after this age of time begins in the future. That's the blessing. We will know he could come today, but he will come soon after this age of time begins in the future. And you know what they said? What he writes at the end of the book? Well, then come on, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come and get us. I'm ready to go. New heaven, new earth, no sin nature, perfect in every way. I'm ready. John, who calls himself one loved by God. I like that, you know. He writes in his other book, 1 John 3, 1 through 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, doesn't understand. Because it doesn't understand Christ. Didn't know him either. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Listen to this. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, perfectly like Christ. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And as we meditate upon that, we start being transformed. 1 Peter 1, 5, 8, and 13, it says, our full salvation is going to be revealed in time, which is to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, he says, 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, cause all that's true, Jesus is coming again. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace. There's a new grace coming for the future. Hope for the grace, have confident expectation for the grace that's be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, come and come soon. We have a hymn for you to listen to. Turn to 275 in your hymn book and just listen along. 275, When He Shall Come. This song is about standing in heaven with those who were saved in the tribulation. They're wearing white robes. They were beheaded for the cause of Christ. And we're supposed to see that, their faithfulness then, and be faithful to the Lord now. That's what it means. 275, listen along. Josh is going to play this for us. When He Shall Come.
Test call.